Blog Talk Radio.
And this is Strategies of Success. And this is what we're going to be talking about today. I guess we could kind of narrow it down to that one issue that so many of us have. And it's that, you know, we think we can conquer the world, and by all means, I'm sure we can when we stay focused. We think we can just run with every idea and make it happen. And maybe we can if you have that full network of people surrounding you. And then there's that other word of technology. Wow. You could do so much with it. You could use it as a business. You could use it to promote your business. You could use it to save time. Ooh, we could also use it to waste time, too. And sometimes that certainly does get in the way. You see, when we have that ability to do, we think we could do it all. And there's one term that came up and continues to arise. No matter who it is that I'm talking to, and our guest is no exception to this, bright, shiny objects. Man, you know, we see something that just looks exciting, and we think we could roll with this in a million and one directions. Sometimes that's good, because that's what we do. We are doers. We don't follow. We do. We run with things, and it's great because we push ourselves. We make mistakes. We learn from it. We move on. It's all good. But then it also, you know, becomes a distraction. But it doesn't have to be. And our guest today has been working with companies and is today working with a company that, I guess, started out, we'll say, as a bright, shiny object. Wow, wouldn't it be a great idea if we could? And that is a great, shiny object to focus on. Wouldn't it be interesting if we could create a business using whatever technology that there is surrounding us? But there's also a few other extra steps that go into that, and we'll get into that discussion. So who are we talking today? We are talking to the Chief Operating Officer at Vehicle Tracking Solutions. Yes, they do use technology. And his name is Glenn Reed. And Glenn, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to discuss this kind of a far-reaching opportunity we have. You know, there's bright, shiny objects. And you've been living in this world of creating businesses and working with other people that are starting their own business. And many of these ideas come from the, wow, wouldn't it be cool if? How do you know? I mean, you know, well, first off, how did you get involved with that? And how do you figure out what's a bright, shiny object that's fun and another one that you can actually create a business out of?
Sure. Hey, and thanks for having me, Brian. I really appreciate being here. And this is we're going to have some fun and some excitement sharing some of the things I've seen in my over 30 years of working with technology companies. Right from the beginning, I started with Ernst & Young, and I can remember the day that we had this separate room that was locked, and there were two keys to the room, and we always wonder what's inside the room, and it was this thing called a portable computer. And by portable, I mean it had a handle on it, but it was about the size of a large suitcase, but that was the bright, shiny object. And at the time, it was, well, we all had to use it, but nobody had any idea what it was to use. And throughout the years, I found, and obviously that industry grew, and computers today are very different from what they were then, but the backwards thinking I saw from that point forward was, I have a solution, now let me go find a problem that it can solve. And to me, that's so backwards in thinking of, wow, look at this really sexy, shiny object, and look at how great it was, and look at it can do things nobody else did. But the pragmatic person then says, well, so what? Who cares? What does it do? Well, yeah, but it's really cool, and look at how neat it is, and man, I'm the only one with it. So and then in the past several years, and working with entrepreneurs directly, the question I started off with them is, you know, what problem are you trying to solve, and is it a real problem? So whether it's a shiny object, which is technology, which has always been my specialty and forte, or if it's a service to have to offer, it's that same thing. What's the problem you're trying to solve? And then the first reality check, and the reality check can be, it could be your husband, your wife, your next-door neighbor, the kid getting off the school bus. Is that really a problem, or is it just something that you kind of morphed into something, a problem, to justify this shiny object you have? So bringing it forward here at the Vehicle Tracking Solutions today, the problem that was solved right from the beginning when, you know, John Cunningham founded the business was, I've got a fleet of vehicles, and I'm just not sure where they are, or I'm not sure if they're wasting fuel, or I'm not sure if the routes they're going on are the most efficient routes, et cetera, et cetera. So fast forward to today, and, you know, realize that the power of the business, Vehicle Tracking Solutions, using that bright, shiny object, which, you know, with the tongue-in-cheek, it's not really a bright, shiny object at all. It's actually this black box the size of a deck of playing cards that is underneath the dashboard in your vehicle, hardwired in. But beyond that, the bright, shiny object, and thinking of it in terms of what does it mean, it's really the software that we've developed around it. We have a SaaS business, which means software as a service, so that what our clients love about us and what seems to be happening in the business world today is that companies are looking to avoid that significant capital outlay from the beginning, whether you're a new business starting up or you're a company where, you know, cash flow is trying to manage, or you've just got better deployments of cash to use. Software as a service allows you to have one monthly fee that covers everything, the hardware, the software, the training, the service, the warranty, the maintenance. So our business is a SaaS business, software as a service. And what we do is we collect all this data. We collect over 7 million pieces of data per day from our 2,300 customers who represent about 50,000 vehicles, primarily in the tri-state area, but we've got it in 36 states throughout the U.S. And we then can interpret this data and feed it back to them in a way that's meaningful. Because part two, if after you solve the problem, so yes, I have a problem, it's a real problem, now how do you solve it in a way that doesn't require you to get 50 people to interpret all the data that we're bringing back to you? So one of the things I think is really powerful about the software side of our business is that we can provide exception reporting. You know, we can tell you, you set a rule for us. I want to know anybody who's, I want to have safer drivers. So what do you define as safety? Well, you know, probably going the speed limit is safe, but sometimes certainly a driver has to accelerate to pass a vehicle. So instead of telling you every minute of every day what speed every driver is going, we can push to you information and say, okay, we've got drivers going, the following four drivers out of our fleet of 50 drivers, we're going more than 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. So this exception-based reporting is how we put lots and lots of pieces of data into a way that's meaningful and useful to you, the manager or the owner or the operator of the fleet of vehicles. So kind of rule number two is, to me, as I think about it, is, okay, once you figure you've got a problem and you solve it, how do you solve it in a way that you can actually act on it to provide a solution which helps your business go and grow? Again, thinking back to that shiny object, a shiny object that does something that helps you grow the business is why you're in business. Businesses are in business, for-profit businesses, to make money and to provide value for the shareholders and return to them in the form of increased value. So we look at our solution, and I've always looked at solutions saying, okay, it solves a real problem, check the box, in a way that I can act on it and have some positive impact on my business. We call it driving productivity. So that's how we look at solving companies' problems and bringing them information that they can act on. So, you know, the old days of saying, well, let me justify my existence by telling you how really, really complicated all this is to do. Today, with people having so little time, as long as they know it works and you can give them customers and references and say, hey, I use it and it does work, that's what they want to know and what they want to see. So we try to bring that value. And if you want to send a technologist that you want to come in to see our data centers or understand how things work or understand a little better how a satellite up, you know, orbiting the Earth can capture information and provide it back to you through a cellular network and into a hosted data center, then to your desktop through the security of the Internet, we can do that. But probably what you want to know is just that, hey, I don't know how many people are going more than 60 miles an hour, so I can tell them to slow down and be safer, spend less gas, idle less, and, you know, help me get more of keep my customers happy in doing the service. So a long-winded answer, but I thought that's kind of a good way to put a context and kick it all off.
Absolutely is. Yeah, you know, and as an owner of a company versus somebody who wants to be the technician side of it, I trust the fact that all the data is being collected and put into a format that I could use. But the big concern is really, what am I going to do with this? And that really is it. You know, who's going to buy it? You know, who's going to use the service? Or in your case, you're giving me so much data, or you're bringing the data down to a level that answers the question, what am I going to do with it? So you're telling me who is the exception to the rule if the average driver spends, you know, goes over the speed limit a little bit is one thing, but if somebody's consistently going over the speed limit. That certainly is another, you know, another item. And then the tracking that takes place within the with the vehicles, also the service schedules, amount of stops, anything you can collect. It must be a
right. Sure.
So
one of the things I appreciate looking at this, and I look at, you know, a company like Amazon, what they've changed, and you know, when you think about Amazon, you're thinking about, boy, it makes shopping for things that are, in many cases, really boring, very easy to do. So it makes it an experience that I can get done what I want to do without the delay or wait. And what Amazon realized, and now what all of us realize, is that sometimes it's so easy to buy, you'll end up buying a lot more stuff. But the analysis they have of that, too, here at VTS's, we try and make the whole user experience so easy to use that you use the system more. And again, harboring back to the fact that, well, we're a SaaS business, everything's baked in, so you can use it as much as you want and there's not any additional usage fees. We know that the customer who uses our system more and more and more gets incrementally more value out of the system. So how do we do that? Our user interface, it's beautiful. It's we feature Google Maps, and you know how beautiful Google Maps are and how detailed they are and how accurate they are. And you can get the satellite view, you can get the street view, you can get the little peg man who, you know, sometimes for fun I like to put the peg man in the middle of the highway. That's that little stick figure that Google has, and we have that in our maps. So you can imagine, boy, this is what it would be like to look at the roads if I'm standing in the middle of the highway without worried about getting run over. It
yeah,
sounds goofy and sounds
is.
Funny, right?
No, not really.
But it's the safety of the virtual world to say, wow, we've got all this data, and now you can take advantage of it. So if you wanted to find out, hey, I'm going to location, what else is around there? You know, you can stand in the street with this in the virtual world that we provide, see what's going on there. If you want to find out, you know, where some of my vehicles are, you can get that location. So again, it's configurable to however the user wants to use it to see what they want. But the point is, everything's very easy to use. We pride ourselves on, in two clicks, you can do anything and get access to any of our features or functionality in our system. And again, it's a user experience. And what I've seen over the years and some of the emerging trends are kind of the blending in some cases of, you know, business use and consumer use. You know, you see it in our offices, and Jordan, your office, people bring their iPhones to work, or their Note to work, their Galaxy Note, or they bring their iPad to work, or their computers. And now increasingly businesses are finding a way to make those tools usable in an office setting, either via a secure browser or through other tools or security features they have. So it's the acknowledgement that, you know, 7 years ago when Facebook first came out and it started getting used, you could never look at Facebook at work. You know, what are you doing? But now, how many businesses advertise or have tools or features or functions on there? So increasingly, we realize, and I certainly can see it, the merging of what the consumer does and what businesses do in a way, again, that's very functional in the office place. So that thinking has influenced, I believe, significantly how usable our features and functions are on our Silent Passenger, which is the name of our service. So it's not, and you're probably not old enough, but I'm old enough to remember when it was a green screen with, you know, white letters, and you just looked and you had to kind of figure out what it meant. Now people have, you know, I believe, very short attention spans. They've got way too much to do. So we really have to focus on that user interface. So that experience, and again, harkening back to the shiny object, well, one of the shiny things we have is just how beautiful looking, but again, how usable our interface is. So when customers come, you don't need hours and weeks of training. You can literally, and we provide training for our service, but our training can be 20 minutes, and you're an expert in our system. Not that it's a simple system, but that it's a very easy-to-use and very intuitive system. And that's a big part, and I see that often in technology companies of, you know, you're trying, you know, and you can almost tell with a lot of companies, you know, who was the founder of the company? Was it the technologist, was it the salesperson, or was it the user, by just how complex the systems are when you first see them? And, you know, over time, the successful companies all kind of merge that it's the best of breed. But, you know, there's what I refer to as the old 80-20 rule. It takes 20% of the time to get 80% of the work done or 80% of the functionality, but that last 20% takes 80%. And sometimes, you know, you realize good enough really is good enough for what people want and what people do. And, of course, there are always the exceptions. You know, I really need that extra feature. But for the most part, you can get a super amount of functionality by getting things good enough and usable enough to be out there for the consumer, whether they're a business person or a consumer.
Yeah, I can certainly see where some things can go too far. I mean, and let's use the average speed that somebody's driving, right? So obviously, if you have all these trucks out on the road, and we can monitor exactly how fast somebody's going, and then, you know, the accounting guy or the technician that works with the fuel economy of the trucks, you know, is trying to get out there and say, look, you know, the truck is optimal at 52 miles an hour the whole way through. It could get to be a bit much, you know, in that respect. So, yeah.
Right, right.
You don't want to go too far. The driver's going to be like, oh, my God, you know, you got mother, almost like mother hen watching at that point. But the flip side, if you have people that are, you know, driving, you know, even around the tri-state area, when it comes to traffic reports, it's real simple, you know, to get information over there. But even on the longer run, I could see where, let's go back to the accounting department. Oh, I love the accounting departments. You know, figuring out what is the best route to take, where there's restaurants or, you know, motels, hotels to go and stay at that within a certain price range. You know, so it may make sense to travel 30 miles out of the way, you know, if you stay in some place that really works out. Something, right, that so your accounting department or the travel department, whatever, you know, they don't need to be an expert in using your system. They need to be able to answer the question, what can I use it for? And that really becomes, that bright, shiny object. This is something that's totally usable and can be used for different applications where it expands from maybe the original thought process as you had when it was that original bright, shiny object in the head.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, that's one of the things I'm really big on is communication between interdisciplines, because you're never going to know when somebody sees something through a different set of eyes what they're going to come up with that you may not have thought of. You know, it's kind of the forest for the trees idea. So I'm really big on, you know, whether it's, you know, around a cup of coffee in the morning or grabbing a glass of water or just, you know, sitting in the lunchroom at lunchtime and the old, you know, what are you working on? What are you doing? Or what's new in your department or in your area? And you find things, and, you know, the curious mind, the interested mind will say, hey, that'd be interesting. Have you ever thought of doing blah? And the blah or the blank could be something that nobody ever thought of or would have thought of, but it helps solve a problem that you have that you didn't know that solution was out there. So that's a case of almost matching up problems and solutions by what we have. So kind of an aftergrowth of you've already got the product, it's got a service, it's performing a function. But now, you know, what else can you do with it, whether it's as is or just a little bit of tweaking to do stuff, and that becomes all of a sudden you got version 2 of your product, and that's out there.
And it's a trade opportunity, you know, different kinds of opportunities also. And what I find to be interesting about those kind of conversations is what if I try this, or what else can I use it for, or can I try something that's a little bit different. It breeds creativity amongst everybody, and that also brings everybody together. And even if you're speaking to a client, it further develops that relationship with them, because you're getting a much better understanding of what it is that they may have as an issue that you might not have perceived from the outside, or some issue that they don't really want to talk about, but all of a sudden it comes up in this kind of a conversation.
For sure. And that's so the communication internally, obviously you want to have that same thing with your customers and even your vendors. And, you know, opening up to the point where you get, you know, trusted partners gives you the ability to have conversations that go beyond the surface level of, okay, you're charging me too much, or, you know, hey, you know, I'm shopping around to other vendors, to finding the people that you are comfortable working with and that you can trust. And really, even though it's a customer vendor or, you know, a vendor provider relationship, there are plenty of ways to get synergy. And, you know, I've seen that a ton in my career, where there are a certain group of people that you really want to work with in a tighter relationship and over a longer term, and you'll be surprised at how many ways that can pay dividends back to you as a business. Could be someone that you wanted to network with, that one of your customer knows and they'll introduce you to. It could be a service that a vendor has to say, hey, I know you have this problem. I found something else that can help you. So, again, the bright, shiny objects, they're everywhere. And while I'm always leery of something that is a fix or a cure for everything, most things do work pretty well with what they're designed to do. So when you get that network of people and you have the communication and you're saying, hey, what's new, or here's what we have, or just I know you're interested in this, can I show you that, real powerful things start to happen. And that's really the power beyond the day-to-day to say, hey, long-term, you know, we're in this together. We're a community. We're a network. How can we help each other for the good of all?
Right. You know what I've seen come up in different conversations, and you've worked with in so many different kinds of roles over the years, that I'd like to ask you this. Businesses, if they're having an issue with something, they're hesitant to bring it forward to either a vendor or a business associate or even at a meeting. Certainly, you know, in networking events, you don't want to stand up and say, hey, you know, this is my problem. Or do you? If you present it properly, is it a sign of weakness, or is it perhaps a sign of strength? Say, look, I know I'm good at this, but I also know that I'm having an issue with some other situation. What are the ideas that other people have? Do you see that as a sign of a strength, weakness, or maybe it depends on the group that you do it in front of?
Yeah, exactly. And it's, there have been a couple examples I've seen over the years where the context is right for real sharing. When I was working with a lot of entrepreneurial companies, I found that certain venture capital funds would set up what I'll call internal networks, meaning networks of private closed networks of their clients or their invested companies, where they'd say, this is a private network and we're going to allow people to share and you can share anything and we'll bring resources in. But the one guiding rule is whatever's said in the network stays in the network. Similarly, that's a virtual example, and I'm telling you, it was so powerful, the things people would say or would share or the questions they'd ask, or, you know, kind of as you put it, the confessions people would make to say, I got a problem, can you help me with this? And I guess in that context, for the most part, these were not what I call competitive scenarios, because it's, you know, obviously you wouldn't want to tell your competitor, hey, I'm having real trouble with meeting sales because I'm not sure if my pricing's right. But in a context of talking to other people who are at that stage of growth or who are in similar markets, geographic markets, but not the same product, there might be a willingness. I've seen a similar thing with, I've belonged to a couple professional networks where the same idea. So even though we're all here sharing, the sharing is kept inside the room, and it takes some time to build trust, confidence, and respect, but man, I'm telling you, when you get to that point where you can have a frank and candid conversation with peers who have and have experienced similar situations, and in a room full of 10 or so people who have many years' experience, pretty much you're always going to find somebody who's seen the problem you've had at some point before. So really goes a long way. Trust, confidence, and respect in people to say, hey, can I share with you and will you share with me? And boy, it becomes, I think it's a sign of both strength and maturity when you can get to that point to say, you know, can you help me develop a solution? Or can you critique a solution I might have? Right? So it's not the weakness of, man, I don't know what to do. You know, you're not a good manager. So here's what I've been thinking about. Here's what I'd like to solve it. Anybody seen this before or have any comments to make that a better solution? Or to give me some of your experiences in a similar case.
Well, I've seen that it certainly works, you know, in different places. But you know, if somebody would just stand up in front of a room, just barter, hey, here's my issue, you know, not so much. It's building that trust and confidence. You know, that is certainly so key to the whole thing. And then finding that right personality, the person that is giving and will listen and will not use whatever information in a way that's going to harm you. It's tough. There have been certain groups that I have found along the way where everybody's joined for that same reason, is that we can be stronger as a group than we can be individually, and pick up different tidbits from everybody as you are going along. So, you know, that's great. And I'm sure you have to see that. You know, once you bring everybody together, if a company is looking to grow and expand, you know, you don't just walk into the bank all by yourself and say, hey, we'll speak to an investor. You know, this is what I want to do. You know,
unless you got a gun,
right? Yeah. Life's a little bit more complicated than that, but it's good. And, you know, you mentioned it before, too. It's that you have somebody taking a look at whatever the situation is. They're looking at it from a different perspective than you are, and that's where the insight comes from.
Right, right. And I think it's, you know, we talked about outside the company or outside of others, but I, since the majority of us spend most of our time inside the company, these ideas are just as important internally because, you know, you've got to build trust, confidence, and respect for the members of your team. And, you know, I believe, and, you know, certainly here it's true, and I've been really fortunate in my career to see that, but that starts from the top down. You know, management, ownership, you know, the C-levels have to give people a sense of confidence and comfort that you can say something really stupid and, you know, you're not going to get mocked and ridiculed for exploring. Because if, you know, I learned a long time ago, if you're right more than you're wrong, you're making progress, and probably a lot of progress. If you're right one time and never wrong, yeah, you're making progress, but how long did it take you to get that one right example? And how many examples that others helping you with could have been right, so you could have made so much more progress? So it's really, to me, it's a tone and a culture thing that, you know, you can't put in a handbook and say, here it is. It's just the way people are, the examples people set, you know, how they interact, and over time, the consistency of doing that, so people do feel, hey, I can step out of my comfort zone to try something or share something, or maybe I read an article that I want to talk to the group about to get their insight. But you know, it's as much outside the company, customers, vendors, people you network with, as it is inside, the people you work with day in and day out over the course of what's probably years and years of a career.
Right. And it's having that open line of communication and allowing everybody to talk freely, and also you're building that trust in everybody. You know, it's so great. As you go, well, Glenn, we only have a couple of minutes left. Vehicle tracking solutions. Is there a typical customer, or is this is oversized business that where your systems can be used on, or does it not really matter because there's something to gain from everything?
Sure. Yeah. Well, certainly that what we look for are commercial fleets. The typical client profile for VTS is a fleet of 25 to 30 vehicles, but we've got customers with just lots of customers just have, you know, one vehicle in their fleet, the local landscaper, the contractor, the pool guy, the plumber, the electrician, through to over 1,000. We just signed up a broadcast company nationwide that's got over 1,000 vehicles in their fleet. But the beauty of the technology, one of the things that really works well is big fleet or small fleet, our ability, our system and our service has the ability to customize and configure in a way that, again, works well for you and your situation. The bigger companies have the same challenges. They just have more of them, but they still need to manage those so that people are seeing the information they need to see when they need to see it in a way that becomes actionable to help improve their business, whether that business is, you know, my five local vehicles in the county, my 50 in the state, you know, my 1,000 in the country. So it's 20 to 30 is the typical size, but you know, any industry, any vehicle, you know, 4 wheels, 8 wheels, 12 wheels, any weight, we're happy to work with them and provide data information that can really make their business, you know, drive productivity. As we say, we help companies drive their productivity.
That's great stuff. You know, it's great. The relationship you have with your customers, that line of communication back and forth the whole way through, looking at different ways of creatively using those bright, shiny objects, or in this case, a dark-colored box that goes under the dashboard. But it still started out as a bright, shiny object. Somebody had an idea, figured out its usefulness, and then did that what if, or what can I use it for? How does it provide value? And Glenn Reed has figured that out with the company that he is the chief operating officer for, and that is Vehicle Tracking Solutions. Hey, Glenn, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us.
Happy to be here with you, Brian. It was really fun, and I hope we can get a chance to chat again, and I can give you progress and updates along the way as we continue to grow.
Joe, I'd love to have you back on again. But we can answer that next question. What is the most creative use that somebody has had for this bright, shiny object, for vehicle tracking solutions? Where has that been done? So, yeah, Glenn, we'll definitely chat again. Without a doubt, we'll have you back on. All right, folks, we have been speaking with Glenn Reed, who is the Chief Operating Officer at Vehicle Tracking Solutions. And there was a number of things that were brought up over the last half hour that are a continuous thing. One, you know, we come up with different ideas. That's great. But are they truly useful for other people or just something we justify in our own minds? And how do we gain the confidence to move forward with it? Or how do we explore different ideas? Groups. Finding that accountability partner, finding that networking group where everybody is there for the same reason. And it's not the reason of growing and promoting your business. It's about finding solutions or finding different ways that you could totally put whatever product or service you have to its best use and perhaps even to a use that you didn't come up with yourself. And look at your customers, man. They are a source. Speak with them. Have an open communication with them. You don't want to walk in there and say, oh, you know, what am I doing bad? But you do want to have the communication with them. It's like, hey, how are you using this? How are things going? What's going on with your drivers in this case? Vehicles, tracking, whatever it might be. And you'll come up with different ideas and you get that light bulb going off in your head and who knows, may lead to a second bright, shiny object, that follow-on product. And my name is Brian Cohen. Again, you've been listening to Glenn Reed at Vehicle Tracking Solutions. You definitely want to check out their website. You get to Google Vehicle Tracking Solutions. Everything comes up. They're on all the social media outlets because that is one of the ways that they communicate with everybody. And figure out what it is that you have in your mind that's going to work for you. And then talk to people. Find out. Like, get their ideas and look at it from an outsider's perspective. Figure it out. See where you're going to go with it and make sure there is value provided beyond just what you think. My name is Brian Cohen. This has been Strategies of Success. Keep exploring it. Keep finding it. Keep making mistakes and learning from them, too. That is a great strategy for your success.